There was a field that Jeremiah purchased, and he bought that field at a time when the property wasn't worth much, but he paid for it because God said in the future, it's going to be returned. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Rod Hembry.
I'm Janice.
And God calls Jeremiah to purchase a field because in the future, it's going to be valuable. That's a very interesting thing. We're going to study Jeremiah chapter 32, 1 through 15 verses. It's just great. We're going to do that in about 3 minutes' time. Right now, Corey is here. Corey, what's going on?
Today, I am going to be taking a look at more signet seal impressions from the time period of Jeremiah. Ryan?
Lord of Hosts is one of the many titles of God in the Bible. But the question is, what does it mean?
Lord of Hosts. Very interesting. All right. And I look forward to that, both of you, coming up in about 17 minutes. Janice?
Today, there is nothing too hard.
All right, open up your Bible. Let's listen to what God says and try to hear what the Holy Spirit tells us.
Jeremiah 32, 1 through 15. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, "Why do you prophesy and say, 'Thus says the Lord,' 'Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape from the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him face to face, and see him eye to eye. Then he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there he shall be until I visit him, says the Lord. Though you fight with the Chaldeans, you shall not succeed." And Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Behold, Hanamel, the son of Shallum, your uncle, will come to you, saying, "Buy my field, which is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is yours to buy it." Then Hanamel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said to me, "Please buy my field that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is yours, and the redemption yours. Buy it for yourself." Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. So I bought the field from Hanamel, the son of my uncle who was in Anathoth, and weighed out to him the money, 17 shekels of silver. And I signed the deed and sealed it, took witnesses, and weighed the money on the scales. So I took the purchase deed, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. And I gave the purchase deed to Baruch, the son of Neriah, son of Messiah, in the presence of Hanamel, my uncle's son, and in the presence of the witnesses who signed the purchase deed, before all the Jews who sat in the court of the prison. Then I charged Baruch before them, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these deeds, both this purchase deed which is sealed and this deed which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel that they may last many days. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land." Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 1 through 15.
I love Jeremiah because Jeremiah speaks to us, the weeping prophet. A lot of people said to me, Jeremiah, I don't know, it's kind of a depressing book. Well, I find it to be very inspiring because there's so much in it that talks today. Jeremiah 32 to 35 is what we read. We're going to focus on Jeremiah 32, 1 through 15. And the truth is that we have short memories, don't we? I mean, it's easy to forget how you got where you are in your life because you're busy living it. But truth has consequences. We may like to live as if the only thing that matters is what happened in the last 24 hours. But we are accountable for all of our actions, regardless of when they occurred. Now, what? When they occurred? Yes. We must bring our lives to God so that He can forgive us, help us to understand and to deal with all of it. In today's reading, God tells Jeremiah to buy a field from his cousin in Anathoth, Jeremiah's hometown. Jeremiah was in prison and Jerusalem was besieged. It must have seemed like a bizarre move, let me tell you. But Jeremiah had been prophesying that the land was going to be successfully captured by Babylon. The purchase of the property was not for the present time, but was for a sign that there would be a future for the land of Israel. God was not done with Israel. God was punishing the sin that had infested them. But in the future, Jeremiah's land purchased would be recognized and would be valuable once again. And let me tell you something. That land today is valuable. So, just saying, really interesting. Take your Bible, guys. This is what it looks like. It's July. And turn with us to the passage of Scripture that we read today. It is a good one. We are talking about investing in the future, and we are focused on chapter 32, verses 1 through 15. If you don't have a Bible guide, you can write to us or call us, and we'll send you one. Or you can go to BibleDiscoveryTV.com, click on it, and it will take you to a place where you can download it. Just remember, it does cost us resources to put it together and send it to you. So whatever you can do, we would really appreciate that. And may I say I want to just say this, that if you feel like you are trying to figure out how to do things in God's way, let me just say that pray about giving, because that's really important right now in the month that we're in and all this time that we're in. So we thank you for that. Father, thank you so much. And help the people, Lord, and keep us close to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, help us, Father, today as we read chapter 32. We need to pay attention to what you've said. In Jesus' name, amen. Here is verse 1. Here is chapter 32. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 2, for then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. Verse 3, for Zedekiah the king of Judah had shut him up, saying, why, Jeremiah, do you prophesy and say, thus says the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And Zedekiah, the king of Judah, shall not escape from the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him face to face, and see him eye to eye. Then he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there he shall be until I visit him, says the Lord. Though you fight with the Chaldeans, you shall not succeed. Well, God gave Jeremiah a specific thing to do to prove God's prophecy. I mean, he was telling the truth. The message of the Lord is often not popular. Let me explain something. When you're surrounded by a nation like this, you don't want somebody to always be, what do they call it, Debbie Downer? But there's something to be truth, to go for the truth. If you speak the truth the way God wants it spoken, that's very important. Jeremiah was given the truth, and he was told, tell the people the truth. And the truth was they needed to stop fighting. They needed to just give up. And that's going to happen. So let's read on. It says here, and Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me saying, behold, Hanamiel, the son of Shallum, your uncle, will come to you saying, buy my field, which is in Anathoth, for the right redemption is yours to buy it. Then Hanamiel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said to me, please buy my field that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is yours, and the redemption yours. Buy it for yourself. And then I knew, Jeremiah says, then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. So I bought the field from Hanamel, the son of my uncle, who was in Anathoth, and weighed out him the money, 17 shekels of silver. Now, this is important. The field that Jeremiah bought was worthless at the time he bought it. Now, hear this. Worth is not determined by market value, but it's determined by God, beloved. God told Jeremiah, I want you to buy that land because that's valuable. Not right now, but that's valuable. Very interesting business move. That's fascinating stuff. Well, we have to go on because the last part of this is even more interesting. It says this, and I signed the deal and sealed it, took witness and weighed the money on the scales. So I took the purchase deed, both that which was sealed up according to the law and custom, and that which was opened, and I gave the purchase deed to Barak, the son of Neri, the son of Moshediah, in the presence of Hanamel, my uncle's son, and in the presence of the witnesses who signed the purchase deed, before all the Jews who sat in the court of the prison. Then I charged Barak before them, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these deeds, both this purchase deed, which is sealed, and this deed, which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel that they may last many days. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Brings me to the third point. God told Jeremiah there would be a comeback to the land of Judah. Israel was nothing but a huge sandbox 150 years ago. And today, it's a beautiful nation. I've been there many times. I want to tell you something. Israel is a beautiful nation, and the GDP is serious. I want to tell you something. This all comes in the last 100 years. God is faithful.
Stay connected with us beyond the program. Follow Bible Discovery TV on Instagram and Facebook for daily encouragement, ministry updates, and behind-the-scenes moments you won't want to miss. Looking for even more? Visit us on YouTube and subscribe to Bible Discovery TV for full episodes and our main content. And there's more to explore. Join me, Rod Embry, every Wednesday on my YouTube channel for our weekly prayer meetings. It's a special time. We come together and lift each other up in prayer. You can also catch the weekend show with Corey Babechko on her YouTube channel. And be sure to check out Ryan's channel for fascinating spotlights and meaningful interviews. There's something here for everyone. So come be a part of Bible Discovery TV.
All right. Well, on last week's programs, we took a look at some signet seals and signet seal impressions that were found in excavations in Jerusalem. Now I want to take a look at even more signet seal impressions, specifically from this time period of Jeremiah, because Jerusalem was destroyed during the lifetime of Jeremiah and during his prophetic career, if we want to call it that. The destruction actually helps preserve some things that are not easily destroyable, if that makes sense. The parchment paper and the leather that of the records of Judah and Jerusalem were destroyed, because if paper gets caught on fire, it burns up. But if clay is in a fire, it actually gets harder. And such is the case with some of these Singha seal impressions. Take a look. In another segment, I discussed several discovered signet seal impressions of Jerusalem officials from the biblical reign of King Zedekiah, the last biblical king of Jerusalem. Now, I want to take a look at several more signet seals and impressions of men that undoubtedly would have known the biblical prophet Jeremiah. The first two have to do with the high priest Hilkiah, who served during the reign of godly King Josiah when Jeremiah was just a young man. The first seal impression was found in an official excavation in 1982, and it says, belonging to Azariah, son of Hilkiah. And the second is a physical seal made of blue stone that was bought on the antiquities market in 1980. It says, belonging to Hanan, son of Hilkiah, the priest. By looking at the carving and styles these seals represent, researchers believe they may have been carved by the same craftsman. And of course, they date to the same time during the lifetime of the prophet Jeremiah. Hilkiah the priest was the one who discovered the book of the law that continued to inspire Josiah's faithfulness to God. And according to Ezra 7, Ezra the scribe was a direct descendant of Hilkiah and his son Azariah. There has also been an official of King Josiah whose bullet impression was discovered in 2019 in the Gavati parking lot excavations in Jerusalem. It reads, belonging to Nathan Melech, servant of the king. Nathan Melech is mentioned in 2 Kings 23 as having a chamber in the temple complex. Now, for the prophet Jeremiah's later life, two clay impressions of the same seal was found on the antiquities market in the 1970s. They read, belonging to Berechiah, son of Neriah, the scribe. Berechiah is the long form of the name Berech or Baruch, who is named as Jeremiah's scribe all throughout his biblical book. Originally, the authenticity of these bullae were questioned, especially because they weren't found in an official excavation. But after an extensive evaluation in 2016, they have been seemingly cleared as authentic. Another bulla that was found on the antiquities market in 1982 may represent a challenging figure from Jeremiah's life. It reads, belonging to Hananiah, son of Azariah. Azariah is the long form of the name Azar or Azur, meaning that this could be Hananiah, son of Azur, the rival prophet to Jeremiah. This prophet takes the yoke off Jeremiah's neck and breaks it, giving an opposing prophecy to Jeremiah's and solidifying himself as an enemy. An interesting detail about this seal was that the writing was completely encircled by carved pomegranate, so it might be a bit of a flashy style. It was a statement, to be sure. Finally, we have two bullae from men who were responsible for getting Jeremiah thrown into a Jerusalem cistern. Jehukal, son of Shelemiah, whose seal impression was found in 2005, and Gedaliah, the son of Pashur, whose seal impression was found in 2007. These men were nearly responsible for Jeremiah's death, but thankfully he was eventually rescued from the muddy cistern. So in total, we've looked at the seals and seal impressions of seven more men who, for better or for worse, would have known the biblical prophet Jeremiah. Very, very interesting that we are able to find some of these names, some of these people from Jeremiah in the archaeological record, exactly at the time and the place where the book of Jeremiah puts them.
So when Jerusalem was burned, the seals hardened.
Yeah.
And they became what we're looking at today. And so that's stunning because God had preserved it so that we could see it today.
Yeah, it's amazing because it's a small mercy in the massive destruction and loss that was the Babylonian destruction. We lost everything else. The furniture, the buildings, except for like the outline of the buildings, all of the records, all of the gold, all the articles of the temple. But we have signatures of the people who were there.
In some cases, we actually have the thumbprint of Baruch.
And
that's stunning, okay? And that is amazing. Thank you, Corey. That's excellent. Okay, Ryan, you're up.
All right, well, the Bible refers to God as the Lord of hosts more than 250 times. Jeremiah uses this specific name of God the most, around 80 times. So it's an important title, but the question is, what does it mean? Take a look.
Hi guys, it's Ryan Hembry here, and today I'm talking about one of the titles of God that's used an awful lot in the Bible, and that is the Lord of Hosts, or in Hebrew, Yahweh Sabaoth. The question is, what does it mean? Well, it's a really good question, so grab your Bibles and let's go. All right, so in the Bible, God is called by a lot of different names and titles, each one revealing something about who he is. And one of these titles is the Lord of Hosts. As a matter of fact, this name of God is one of the more popular ones in the Bible, as it's used over 250 times. It first occurs in 1 Samuel 1:3, and it last occurs in James 1:4. And all but two of the 250-plus occurrences are in the Old Testament. And the majority of the Old Testament occurrences are found in the prophets, where they combine for a total of over 230 times. Jeremiah uses it most frequently at around 80 times, followed by Isaiah at 60, and then Zechariah at about 45. Though Zechariah comes in third overall here, his book does hold the record for most occurrences in a single chapter, because this title is used 18 times in Zechariah chapter 8. That's why some scholars like to refer to it as the Lord of Hosts chapter. Now, when we look into the original language, we find that the compound Hebrew word behind this name is Yahweh Sabaoth, and Sabaoth shouldn't be confused with Sabbath. While they do look and sound similar in English, and while Jesus does refer to himself as the Lord of the Sabbath in the New Testament, in Hebrew, these are two totally different words. While Sabbath refers to a time of rest, Sabaoth means armies or hosts. And it's interesting to note that while most modern versions of the Bible translate this Hebrew word into English so that it's rendered Lord of Hosts, the King James and New King James translations in two passages retain the Hebrew here so that it's rendered Lord of Sabaoth. The first passage is Romans 9:29, and the second is James 5:4. Interestingly enough, these are also the only two places in the New Testament where God is called the Lord of Hosts or Lord of Sabaoth. Okay, so this is all fine and dandy, but as the old adage goes, what does it all mean? Well, since Sabaoth means armies or hosts, the title Lord of Sabaoth tells us that God is superior to any human or angelic slash demonic army, no matter its number. Many times the Lord led his people to victory over a superior military force. This title also tells us that God exercises control over all the hosts of heaven, which include the angels and demons, and even the heavenly bodies like the sun, moon, and stars. As the psalmist proclaims in Psalm 148, "Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light." In short, this title, like King of Kings and Lord of Lords, indicates God's total dominion over all of creation, whether in heaven or on earth.
So Lord of Hosts refers to God's kingship over the entire universe. And as I said before, each title or name of God tells us something about who he is. So let's really pay attention to those different titles.
So the names of God and the titles, Lord of Hosts, another title is God Almighty. God the Healer. Okay, it's another title.
That's right.
It's really important because how do you name God in his greatness? Because you're going to miss something if you name him here, but then you miss that That's over there.
Right, yeah.
So he has like a stack of names.
Yeah, many of them, many names and titles.
The name Yeshua HaMashiach is Jesus the Christ, or salvation, Messiah, or anointed one. And it's very interesting that we have these names. And this is all part of understanding who God is. And understand, realizing what
it's descriptions,
doing.
Right? It's us trying to describe different aspects of his character and different roles that he takes. Yeah.
I mean, how do you articulate and put into physical vibration the meaning of God? How do you do that?
Yeah.
Like God, when he spoke, created the universe. But when we speak, you know, the vibrations in the air, some people
just help us to be understood.
Well,
they
exactly.
Just help us to be understood.
Exactly. I think when Ezekiel saw the throne of God, when he saw God, and he was explaining, it's like this and it's like that. There was nothing he could really.
He couldn't exactly
compare it with stuff that he knew, but it wasn't a perfect, you know.
There is
description.
Let me just explain this. It's got to explain this. There is a video that I saw online, and it was created by AI. Now, I'm not a big fan of AI for lots of reasons, but it was created by a Christian and it was excellent. And he said, I need to remove the human elements of this. And I wanted to create the first vision that Ezekiel had in Ezekiel chapter 1. And he created it. And I got to tell you, I saw it. And it's stunning.
It gave you like a different perspective. It's obviously not
gave
real.
Me
and obviously,
totally,
like,
it's not real.
AI
but
it's programmed by humans.
It's
so
programmed,
yeah.
But it introduced some things, and I thought, I never thought of that.
Right.
I never
different
saw that.
Perspective.
Different perspective. But
yeah.
when we praise the Lord, it says in the last Psalm, "Let everything that hath breath,
yes,
praise the Lord." And so I believe that when we live to express our praise and our thanksgiving to God, all of creation mm-hmm. joins with us. And what will it be like in the new heaven and the new earth when we are able with our ears and our eyes and our spirits, the way they were originally created, that we can now participate with all of creation? We can't handle it right now in our bodies. I think we would just explode. But, all of these names that we give to God brings him glory and brings him praise, and only he is worthy of our praise. Now, saying that there is nothing too hard, we get into here, Jeremiah had a unique and wonderful relationship with God. And he understood that God knew his heart. He knew how he thought. And Jeremiah was not afraid to come to God and speak to him. And God was not afraid at all to speak to Jeremiah because he knew Jeremiah, formed Jeremiah in the womb. And Jeremiah says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you." God had told Jeremiah to buy this field from Hanamel in Anathoth. That land was of no value. And Jeremiah was praying and asking God to help him to understand. He said, "You have said to me, O Lord God, buy the field for money and take witnesses. Yet the city has been given into the hand of the Chaldeans." Jeremiah didn't know what it meant to do that, but he knew that if God told him to do it, that he should. And so he did. And remember Peter, when they had fished all night and they caught nothing, and the Lord Jesus asked if he could be in his boat and to push out, and he told him to cast his net into the other side. And Peter said, "Oh, Lord, Master, we fished all night and caught nothing, but at your word, I'm going to do it." And his nets were full, so much so that there was two nets and they needed two boats. Take God at his word. When we're faced with battles and trials, whatever they are, remember who God is. Remember to come to him, and remember to trust in him.